ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam. Today is September 6, 2018. The first Thursday of this month, I am Team Ready Sai's Bishu, and as I had mentioned before, the first Thursday of every month on Outside Inside, Deep Inside, for the next few months is going to be dedicated to commemorating the golden anniversary of the Vrindavan campus, which will complete 50 years in June 2019. We started this series, Learning with Love, in Vrindavan in June 2018. June 7th was the first episode. Then we had on July 5th the next episode, the third episode on August 2nd. And today we are in the fourth episode, September 6th. If you have been following this series, we began by tracing the history of the establishment of the Vrindavan Ashram. And then in the next episode, we went on to the coming up of the Vrindavan campus, and then in the subsequent episode I shared with you the initial days of the college and narrated to you largely based on the reminiscences of Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy, who was among the students handpicked by Bhagwan to join the college in June 1969. And also, as I was narrating to you his story and I was talking to many students who joined in that era, I had the chance to meet Mr. C.M. Prakash, who currently works in the Sanatana Sarthi Press, who has been looking after the publication of the Sanatana Sarthi for decades now. He is also someone who joined the college way back in 1970. In fact, in 1968 itself, when Bhagwan had given an interview to his father and his family, Swami had mentioned that, "I will take care of your entire education. You're going to be here." And at that point in time, they had no clue where he's going to study. But as things worked out and as they panned out, Swami personally picked his application form and gave him the opportunity to become a student in 1970. So that is how Swami was picking, choosing, selecting the instruments who are going to be part of his education mission in this formative year. So in the previous episode, I shared with you many interesting anecdotes of how Bhagwan hinted to Ramakrishna Reddy sir much before the college construction began about the coming up of the college, how the initial hostel building happened, which actually was a car garage converted into a hall, how the students were handpicked by Swami, how the initial classes happened in the simple college building, and the most edifying tales of how Swami so subtly and sweetly laid down all the do's and don'ts, the routine that he wanted in the college, how he started the college prayer, how the moral classes as a practice began on Thursdays, and then the most important thing, how boys in Vrindavan started going for darshan of Bhagwan early in the morning. How this practice of boys spending time in Bhagwan's residence right from 6:37 in the morning started. That was indeed a lovely tale if you have heard the previous episode. So we'll move on from there in today's episode. So the boys were coming early. Their morning clock began right at 5 o'clock. And though their classes started around 9:30, they were in Bhagwan's compound in his residence 2 hours before that. So many days, Swami would be upstairs and they would see Bhagwan come out of his room and sit on a parapet wall, which was basically a rudimentary brick wall. And Swami would sit there, one leg on the other, and there would be a book on his leg and he would be writing articles. And the boys later knew that these were articles being written by Bhagwan for Sanatana Sarthi, the Ashram Monthly magazine. Swami personally used to write articles for this mouthpiece of the ashram, which started in February 1958, on the occasion of Shivratri. So all the Vahini series that we have now, Prema Vahini, Dharma Vahini, Sutra Vahini, Ramkatha Rasa Vahini, they were all written by Bhagwan, and the Vrindavan boys in those days had the opportunity to see that happen in action. Swami would sit there on that bare brick wall, and it would be a very, very simple setting, and Swami did not have a chair, there was no table, there's not even a cloth or a cushion on that wall, but Swami would, you know, all that would not bother Swami. He would just, and there were no reference book, nothing. Swami would just sit there on that simple wall, and that stream of wisdom used to flow from his pen into those sacred pieces of literary masterpieces that Bhagwan has gifted for posterity. So once in a while, as Bhagwan would be writing, Swami would look down and see the voice, and sometimes even talk to them. So he would ask someone, who is your mother? Or someone would ask, when is your father coming? How is your mother feeling now? All these, you know, little conversations which used to happen. And so the boys would stand there, watch Swami, and wait for those moments of interaction. And by the time it was 8 a.m., Swami would go back to his room, because he knows that unless he goes in, the boys would not move. And so Swami would want the boys to have breakfast at 8 and then prepare for going to the college. So Swami would go inside, and then the boys would rush to the hostel, quickly have their breakfast, and, you know, again dash to the mandir. You know, because they know that Swami would come down any moment and, you know, probably talk to the elders there in the downstairs of his residence and then come out for darshan. And they didn't want to miss one more moment if they can get with the Lord. So nobody's attention was on the food. What were the items for the breakfast? You know, they were only thinking about how quickly to get back. Just, you know, swallow whatever is there and run back to mandir. So in those days, the transport facilities to reach Vrindavan also were very minimal. Around 9:30, 9 or 9:30, two trains used to pass Whitefield station, you know, Bhagwan's ashram, and just a few feet away from the station. So one train would be coming from Bangalore and another would be going towards Bangalore. And it is in these two trains that so many devotees and students used to come for Bhagwan's darshan. In fact, Swami would be waiting for these trains to arrive. You know, he would be so eagerly looking out to see if the trains have come, have the devotees come. It would be just like a mother, you know, eagerly waiting for her children. Just like a mother cannot wait to see her children, cannot wait to go near them, cannot wait to fill them with her love. You know, Swami would be like that. Ramakrishna Reddy sir narrates. Swami would, you know, sometimes even walk up to the compound wall, and there were a few steps there. He would climb on that. There were a few flower pots. So he would put his chin on the wall and he would keep watching sometimes to see if the devotees have arrived, if the devotees have arrived, and if sometimes if the train becomes late and if the devotees are rushing, you know, thinking that darshan is over or they might miss Bhagwan's blessings, Swami would ask the boys to go and tell the devotees, don't worry, come easily, don't hurry. Swami has not yet come out for darshan. Swami would ask the boys to go and, you know, comfort the devotees. So this is how eager Bhagwan was. And once every Thursday and Sundays, there would be bhajans. And, you know, at that point in time, there were no hotels there. There were no shops there. It was absolute jungle, only trees, Vrindavan. And so devotees would actually bring their lunch boxes, their food boxes and their small baskets. And they would tie them on those low-lying trees as they go for darshan. And Ramakrishna Reddy sir narrates how, you know, that was such a surreal scene, because it reminded one of the days of Vrindavan of Dwapara Yuga, because the gopis and gopalas also, you know, in a similar fashion, would be all the time thinking about Krishna, and they would go to the forest, go with Krishna for grazing the cows, and then they would tie their food boxes on the trees, and then they would go around Krishna. Their mind would be all the time in and around Krishna. And here you had a similar scene, you know. The devotees would bring the food, but they would just tie it on some tree, and then constantly they are thinking about Swami. When will Swami come out? When will Swami come out? So mind on Swami always. And that is how it was with the devotees, with the students. And as I told you, students, they would just have their breakfast and then go back quickly, because Nothing was more important than that extra moment that they can get with Bhagwan. Even when the classes started, you know, once the college prayer happens and boys go inside the classrooms for the subject lessons to start, you know, Ramakrishna Reddy sir says how it was just mechanical listening, because, you know, constantly your thought is on the mandir, you know, is Swami going to come out? Because there were times when Swami used to come out and sometimes even step into the classrooms, and Ramakrishna Reddy, he used to know which side Swami would enter, you know, given his little bit of experience of Bhagwan's movements, and because he had known Bhagwan in Prashanti Nilayam. So for him, the place to sit in the classroom would be that point from where, in case Swami enters the classroom, he should get a good view of Swami. So those are the vantage positions he used to select, and he sit in the classroom. And one day it just happened that, you know, classes were going on and Bhagwan steps in and nobody's aware. And Ramakrishna Reddy was sitting behind, and Swami comes through that behind door, and as he comes in, Swami sees that, you know, the notebook of Ramakrishna Reddy sir is blank, absolutely empty. He's written nothing there, and the class is going on, and Swami, through gestures, Swami was communicating to him, what is this? You've not written anything. What are you doing? And Mr. Reddy, he again communicated through gestures to Swami, Swami, nothing is going into my head. You know, he scratched his knuckles on the head to communicate to Swami, I'm not getting it. It was a little difficult for him because he has done his schooling in Bukkapatnam and then he has moved there. It was difficult for him to pick up the pace at which the lessons were being taught there. And Swami looked at him very lovingly and said, again, through gestures, nobody had any clue of what was happening between Ramakrishna Reddy and Bhagwan. And Swami very sweetly communicated, okay, doesn't matter. Wait, I will take care. I will take care of you. Everything will be fine. Don't worry. But, you know, his focus was only on Swami. Because his focus was on Swami completely, here Swami was telling, I will take care of you, don't worry. And that's what happened. Ramakrishna Reddy said later excelled in his academics, and later on Bhagwan's direction, started teaching the boys in the Prashantliam school, and all his students have always done fantastically well in the board examinations, and it continues. So this is how Bhagwan in those days was inculcating, you know, this foundation of love for God in the students. In fact, just to mention here, even in the later years, once the students of Vrindavan started going to the city, to the Bangalore University for the PG courses, even then the gold medals of the Bangalore University were largely from Bhagwan students who were staying with Bhagwan. And even though there were perhaps 600 colleges of Bangalore University, it was Sri Satya Sai College which used to get the gold medals. And here the students only focus was love for God. You know, once you have love for God, everything else just falls into place seamlessly. This is something that Swami was trying to cultivate in the students, and it was happening in action. So beautifully, Swami was laying down this principle in the hearts of the youngsters, that if your heart is for God, if your mind is always on Swami, then everything else will be fine. This is the foundation of everything of your life. Let's listen to Ramakrishna Reddy sir narrate and some of those moments of how they used to long to be with Swami in those days.
I can say with confidence and 100% conviction, nobody used to miss Swami's darshan. Once, I think, on the evening, after, I think, Swami was entered room, Swami gave darshan for, and moved among the boys for 1 hour. And he picked up some VIP and went into the inter room. I thought, let me go to the hostel and have some water. When I went to the hostel, beside me, one more boy is coming and he also drinking some water. I then asked him, hey, you come back. Are you not going for darshan? He said, oh, Babu, Ramakrishna, legs are paining. I think I may have to stay back, he said. I said, okay, your wish. Then slowly I started moving back to the Swami's Mandir. By the time Swami, I think, came out of the interim and he was allowing students to sit near the throne, I think boys were getting ready for bhajan. I was thinking, you know, oh, Baba, papam, poor fellow, he stayed back. When I looked at the front, where I can also get a chance to sit somewhere there, that boy whom I saw in our hostel, he was already there. So nobody could resist. I'll tell you what Swami himself said about darshan. One evening, Swami was returning after attending bhajan in Sai Ram Shed. Swami is giving darshan and sitting for bhajan. We also used to stand behind devotees, that is the ground side. Then Swami is coming back, when he is taking harti, we used to slowly move inside the mandir. Either side, some boys were standing. Slowly Swami was coming inside. They entered the inner gate, we were there. Swami looked at us, and beside me, I think, looked at one boy, and Swami said, "Why are you staring at me like that?" It was a joke. I couldn't make out whether it was joking or serious. It appeared a little bit serious. Maybe Swami wanted to teach us, or maybe we wanted people to know something. You have seen for 2 hours in the morning. Now, bhajan time, Sai Ram Shed, you have seen me for 1 hour. And now I'm coming inside. You're going to sit inside the mandir. You're going to see me for 1 more hour. Why are you staring at me like that? So we were taken aback. Very strange question. So Swami went on repeating the question. Why are you staring at me like that? That thin smile was there on his face. So we thought, he is not serious, but something he really wanted to teach us. We said, "We don't know, Swami." "Huh? You don't know?" "Yes, Swami, we don't know." "Then if you don't know, why you are staring at me like that for 3-4 hours non-stop?" Then one boy said, "Swami, we feel like looking at you always, Swami." Then Swami's expression changed. So happy he was. That's what he wanted everybody, I think, that time and also now. No. Adera Daivatam ante. Adera Daivatam ante. Ante? Ah, that is divinity. Whom do you like to look at continuously for 4-5 hours? Only God.
Isn't that such a revealing moment? Adera Daivatam ante. He is someone whom you want to look at continuously, unceasingly. You cannot take your eyes off him. You know of people who go to Tirupati and they cannot take their eyes off the idol. You know of people who have gone to Pandharpur and they cannot take their eyes off the Lord. We know of people who have gone to Dwarka, they cannot take their eyes off the Lord. We know of people who have gone to Shirdi, they cannot take their eyes off the Lord. You can look at the Lord for hours together. And here was a Lord in flesh and blood. And Swami is saying, that is what is divinity. Adera Devatam ante. Whom else would you want to look at for hours together and never get tired? In fact, if any of us have been there in Prashanti for darshan, we can relate to this, because every time you were there for darshan, you know, at the end of it, you are only more and more energized. You lose track of time. Time stops. How much ever you have, it is not enough. It is never enough, because the divine fills you with joy. The divine fills you with energy. The divine fills you with bliss. His darshan is an unending ocean of bliss. You just want to become one with that bliss. That is what is divinity. Anandam tava darshanam. Anandam tava darshanam. Anupama binavarupam. Anandam tava darshanam. Anupama binavarupam. Vikasita kusumam mridu madhu bharitam. Anandam tava darshanam. Vikasita kusumam mridu madhu bharitam. Anandam tava darshanam. Oh.
ஆதனம் மதி மதுரம் பிரீணதி மே மனசுமுகம் ஆசுருச்சிரவச்சனம் சுலலித கமனம் ஹிருதயம் கருணாலவாலம் ஆசுருச்சிரவச்சனம் சுலலித கமனம் ஹிருதயம் கருணாலவாலம் பிரவஹதி பிரேமார்ணவம் விகசித குசுமம் மிருது மதுபரிதம் ஆனந்தம் தவ தர்ஷனம் ஆனந்தம் தவ தர்ஷனம்
is what is darshan, and I think every student, every devotee who has come to Bhagwan in those years can relate to that bliss of darshan, anandam tava darshanam. In fact, Ramakrishna Reddy sir narrates how it was the same even in Prashantinilayam. In those days in Puttaparthi there were no proper darshan area, it was just the same area where people kept their luggage. They used to stay under the trees in front of the mandir, the same place where they would just roll up their beds and keep the luggage aside and be there for darshan. In fact, most of the days in those days, darshan used to happen standing, because Swami used to come out in the balcony of the mandir, and sometimes he would be upstairs, sometimes he would come downstairs, sometimes he would appear behind the mandir. So devotees would run left, right, north, south, east. So that is how people's minds were mad for Swami. Swami used to play with the devotees just like Krishna used to play with the gopikas, and you lose sense of who you are, what you are, where you are, what time is it, what is hunger, what is sleep. The bliss of darshan fills you and fulfills you. Anandam tava darshanam. That is how it was in those days. And Swami would be sitting down only for the bhajans. The rest of the time he was always on the move, and devotees too also were on their toes, because they don't know from which corner Swami is going to appear next. So in those days, Bhagwan, when he used to speak to the students, he used to tell them about Dhruva, he should tell them about Prahlada, he should tell them about Gopika, tell them about Meera. Swami used to laud their pure devotion, how their hearts were completely merged in the thought of Krishna, how their minds were mortgaged to the Lord, and in return they were filled with bliss. He used to stress about one-pointed devotion, one-pointed concentration, how if you have that kind of one-pointedness, you will be filled with grace. Ramakrishna Reddy also shares how Swami was so particular at that point in time about minds developing this concentration and not getting distracted, shunning distraction and developing concentration, because Swami knows empty mind is devil's workshop. So, narrating one instance, Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy says that, you know, in those days, behind Vrindavan, there was this Kadugudi village, and there was a lot of open area. Then there was a little factory bit away from Vrindavan, and in that Kadugudi area, many workers used to stay. Employees of various factories used to have their little dwellings there. And for all these people, the entertainment was only movies. It was not the days of TV. Television was not popular. We are talking about 70s and forget phones and smartphones and YouTube and all that. So at that point in time, the only entertainment, so-called entertainment of the people, was these touring theaters. There would be these movie shows, and people would come back from their work, all these workers, and they would have the dinner, and then these movie shows would start. And around 7:38 onwards, these cinemas used to start, and because the ashram was close by, that music and the loud sound of these songs and the dialogues, they used to waft through the air and they used to come to the hostel. And so all the boys could listen to all those Kannada, Malayalam, Tamil songs. And it was nice music, as Ramakrishna Reddy sir was recalling, you know. It was interesting, as they would sit down for studies, these music would keep coming from behind the ashram. And one day during this time, Swami had gone out, and as Swami returned, all the boys, as always, they were standing next to the pathway near the gate, and you know their hostel was just behind, next to the gate, close to the gate. And so as Bhagwan entered the gate, there were about 20-25 boys who were standing there on either side of the pathway. Swami slowed down, and Swami came out of the car, and Swami looked at Ramakrishna Reddy, and with a very mischievous smile, Swami said, "Hey, I will cut off your nose and ears." And he was taken aback. In fact, you know, people around started giggling, and but Swami then, you know, pointed his index finger, and he started waving his hand as if, you know, giving him a warning, and he said, "I will make you like Supranakha. I will cut off your noses and ears." But even as he said that, there was also a smile on his face, a subtle smile. So you really didn't know whether Swami was serious, whether Swami was happy or unhappy, whether he's pleased with something or he's really displeased with something. And, you know, everyone just giggled, and someone said, "Don't think too much about it. Swami just like to tell you something, you know, he wanted to talk to you. So he just got a joke. So don't think too much about it." And to Ramakrishna Reddy, it seemed, what is this? You know, there has to be some meaning, because he knew that Swami does not do anything without any significance. But still he could not really fathom what exactly Swami was trying to convey. But the good thing was, okay, he was not very angry or anything, but there was something that Swami was trying to convey. So he was wondering, why did Swami say that he will make me like Supranakha? You know, he'll cut off my nose and ears. And what does all this disfiguration mean? So that night he was constantly thinking about it, and as he sat down for studies, again that music from the movies, from the beyond, started coming, and that is when it struck him, oh my God, because the book was in front of him and his mind was with that music. He used to imagine the scenes as he used to listen to the songs and he used to listen to those dialogues. He used to visualize what the movie could be and what could be happening in those images, picturize the movie, all that was happening in his mind. So all that mental picturization, the mind had gone to the movies, and here he realized this is what Swami was warning him, because in those days, as he used to listen to the songs, you know, his leg would start moving as the dance would begin there. You know, he was so much with what was happening meters away from the ashram, and that is when he realized, oh my God, this is what Swami is trying to tell me. Swami is constantly watching, constantly protecting. He was there, and so subtly and so sweetly Swami was guiding. Nobody realized what was happening. Everyone else thought that Swami just likes to talk to Ramakrishna Reddy. No one had any clue that Swami was actually sweetly reprimanding him. But Ramakrishna Reddy got the message. He knew it was something serious. He knew he had to alter his conduct, and Swami did it in a manner that nobody had any idea about what was happening in his mind and how Swami was trying to mend his ways. So this is how so sweetly and subtly Swami was ensuring that their minds were focused on God, that they were not getting distracted at that impressionable age, especially when you're in your teens, when you're in 20s. And Swami always wants that your mind should be focused on what will build the foundation of your life. And that is what's happening there in this beautiful lab that Swami had set up, a lab for the blossoming of human excellence, blossoming of human character that Swami had set up in Vrindavan. And Swami, when boys used to sit down for bhajan, Swami would always tell them, sit straight, concentrate, concentrate and sing. And Swami should always emphasize that don't simply sit quiet as bhajans are happening. Open your mouth, sing loudly. So those were all those instructions that were coming from Swami, just so that people learn how to train their mind. Rigorous mind training is so important for anyone to achieve anything in life, let alone anything to do with spirituality. Spirituality is a must, but even to achieve anything simpler, anything credible in life, mind training is so important. And here, Bhagwan was instilling these virtues so beautifully. And with time, Swami started engaging the students with various activities, very interestingly, very beautifully, ensuring that their mind is occupied with activities which will keep them occupied, which will keep them engaged, so that they don't go into various directions. In fact, one day in the evening darshan was over and it was slightly becoming dark. And that day, instead of sitting inside, Swami was taking a stroll and just right in front of his residence, in front of the mandir. And that path was about, say 300 feet. So Swami was going from one end of that path to the other end, and all the boys, 20, 30 boys, they were just standing there on either sides of the path, and nobody said anything because, you know, Swami was quiet and perhaps Swami was thinking something. Or, and in those days, there was really no necessity, it was not really necessary to tell Swami anything, because most of their needs Swami had taken. Even before they could articulate anything, Swami would look after their needs. Swami would have taken care of everything. So, and in case they wanted to say also, all they had to do is just, you know, put their step forward and Swami would ask, okay, what do you want? So that's how it was. Very few boys, and everything Swami was looking after. So Swami was there just going up and down that path, and the boys were standing. In fact, in those days, they would not even fold their hands. That whole practice of folding hands in the presence of Bhagwan had not started. In fact, that started only when the students from the Bangalore city, the Balvika students, started coming, and as they sat for darshan, they wished to fold their hands in respect. And that is how this practice of folding hands and sitting during darshan started. In those days, boys would just keep their hands down and just stand. And namaskar in those days meant to touch Bhagwan's feet. If Swami would say take namaskar, it means touch his lotus feet. Swami is granting you pada namaskar. Namaskar generally means, you know, folding the hands. But in those days, namaskar means touching the feet of the Lord. That is how it was. It was, everything was, you know, the formative years of Bhagwan's education mission. And so here the boys were just standing there. In fact, even whites as an uniform had not started. Boys used to wear all sorts of dresses. It was a colored dress. So all the boys there were standing, you know, wearing colored dress, putting their hands down, and Swami was going up and down in front of his residence, that entire stretch of the pathway. And everyone was, you know, thinking, God knows what is happening in Swami's mind. It's a quiet moment. And then something beautiful happened.
So Swami was moving up and down, taking a stroll. And once in a while, he was looking at the flower pots there. At one place, Swami stood looking at the flower pots and again looked at us. It was evening 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I said, hey, have you had breakfast? We had started giggling. See, we used to think, no, Swami sometimes will speak out of context, but Swami never speaks out of context. He said, yes, Swami. And Swami used to make us laugh and giggle. Everybody, Swami used to laugh and boys to laugh. Then after some time, again he stopped and said, hey, boys, did you have lunch? Then he said, Swami, yes, Swami. See, these answers are very simple, no? So everybody wanted to say yes, and so we also, everybody, yes, Swami. People standing beside me, they said, something you want to talk to us. So simple questions, fine. But Swami is nothing simple, no, everything. For future, no, unless some benefit is there, Swami even don't joke. Again, after some time, Swami said, did you have evening tea? Yes, Swami. As if we have achieved something great. In chorus, we said, yes, Swami. Then we are getting ready. We are whispering to the neighbor. Swami will say, when are you going to have dinner? And we will say, you know, but Swami almost moved his hand back to give a nice punch, as he was going to give us a nice punch. So you boys, you had breakfast, lunch, tiffin, you are getting ready for dinner. So many things you have eaten. See, look at these plants. Then Swami stretched the hand and looked at the plants. See how they are fading away. Have you never thought of pouring some water to these plants? Then he struck that we have to do something. We understood. I myself understood clearly what I was supposed to do. We have to pour water. Then Swami meant we have to pour some water. Then what to ask, whom to ask. So we know what to do. So there are two, three buckets. in the bathroom, take the bucket and mug, get water and pour. So I patted 2-3 boys. I said, come here. So I should not wait. So immediately we went back to the hostel and picked up the buckets, filled the buckets with water, and almost all the pots we poured water. Ramabrahman Gar told us later, Swami felt very happy.
So that is how Swami started getting the boys involved in looking after the plants. You know, till now they were so focused only on Swami, but Swami is telling them, see, if you are focused on Swami, it also means you know how to empathize with everything around you. You have to see Swami in the plants, you have to see Swami in the elders, you have to see Swami in the teachers, you have to see Swami in the cook, you have to see Swami in the watchman, you have to see Swami everywhere and look after everything. So that is how slowly Swami was training the boys. And that is how this activity of gardening, perhaps it is one of the earliest self-reliance activities that the boys started getting involved with. And once Swami indicates, once he gives a clue, that is how this became a routine for the boys to look after the plants, to look after the trees there, take care of the garden. And so this is how slowly Swami was getting them involved in various activities. One morning, 7:30, Swami came and Ramakrishna Reddy was standing there, and Swami just saw him and Swami called him and said, hey Ramakrishna, why don't you tie some mango leaves on this gate? In fact, Ramakrishna Reddy says, mother, for so many years, has been doing the service in that time itself, in the 60s itself, she used to tie flowers and she used to tie mango leaves in the doors of Prashanti Nilayam Mandir of Bhagwan's residence. And here Swami was telling him, why don't you do this? So this was a direct instruction from Bhagwan. And so that is another activity that got added now. So every morning he used to pick up these mango leaves. There were plenty of mango trees in the Vrindavan ashram then, and he used to make those bunches of these mango leaves and tie them. It started with the gate with which Bhagwan, through which Swami used to come out for darshan. And slowly Mr. Ram Brahman, who was the caretaker of the Vrindavan ashram, then told him, why didn't you tie the tree in, try the mango leaves on Bhagwan's residence doors too. So that is how slowly this another activity got added. So you had gardening, you had now tying mango leaves on the ashram gates and Swami's residence gates. So in the early morning hours, you know, the students were initially just waiting inside, but now they were involved in so many activities later on. In fact, it was slowly acquiring that character of a Gurukulam. In how in the earlier era, when the students used to stay with the teacher, they would look after the ashram, they would bring wood, they would look after the cows, they would look after the cleanliness, they would do everything of the ashram and study from the master. That was their Guru Dakshina. I mean, that was the way they felt that they were serving the master. You serve the master and then gain his knowledge. This is something that Swami was recreating in the modern setting. So many boys, and slowly Swami said, Ramakrishna, concentrate on your study. It should not be that you get too involved with one activity that, you know, you lose time for your studies, or it should affect your academics. So slowly more boys join. And so that is how Swami ensured that these activities are always shared and it was done together. In fact, later on, I was speaking also to Mr. C.M. Prakash, who after 1 or 2 years also joined this activity, and how Swami used to direct, okay, put 9 leaves or 13 leaves, you know, odd numbers. And so he was, now there were so many gates and so many doors where this duty has to be done, where this mango twigs and mango leaves, which is called Toranam, had to be tied every morning. And one morning, interestingly, when he was tying this at 6:30 in the morning, as he was putting this mango leaves Toranam on one door, stretching his hand out and trying to complete the job, suddenly someone came and patted him behind, and he wondered, who is it? You know, because he was not really friendly with anyone in that manner. So he wondered, who could that be? And suddenly when he turned, he saw that Swami was laughing, you know, having done that prank. So here was Bhagwan, you know, filling them with so much joy, giving them so much encouragement, just to do that little acts of service, little acts of thinking about Swami, little acts of serving the Master, little acts of seeing Swami in nature. So those were those beautiful way Swami was instilling in them to engage their mind constantly in work, in God's work, even as you're studying. It's not that just because I'm studying, I don't have time for doing anything else. Your mind should be always on God, whatever else you may do. This is the primordial thing. That is the primary goal of life. So later on, Mr. Prakash also used to look after so many activities. In fact, he used to look after the tank with which, from where water used to come for Bhagwan's kitchen and Bhagwan's washroom. So many activities. Boys themselves started looking after many of these activities. Another interesting activity that the boys started getting involved is cooking. So right from 1969 itself, of course the number was very small. Swami had a cook. But sometimes Swami would himself come to the hostel for dinner. And so in those days, boys used to have a better feast. You know, used to have an elaborate feast. So boys used to go to the Kadugudi and buy the vegetables. And Swami would make those arrangements much before. You know, he would give instructions how many people are coming. And sometimes he would get his guests. And in fact, the warden himself used to, you know, go and help with the cooking. And so the boys used to divide all the work. It used to happen on some important days. And so this, when Bhagwan is likely to come, so all the cleaning, not only cooking, everything used to be looked after by the boys, and the warden used to lead the way in doing everything. The boys used to go to the Kadugudi and pick up the vegetables. And because, you know, there where they were staying was basically car garage converted, so it had to be emptied and everything, every place was made spick and span. That is what happens, you know, when God comes, everything just falls into place. You're constantly thinking about Him, His energy. Through His energy, everything works so fantastically. So the boys also got involved with cooking. So after the lunch, they went and they started preparing. So because the cook was someone who knew Ramakrishna Reddy, because he was from Puttaparthi and Ramakrishna Reddy also was from Puttaparthi. So he told, you know what, I need help with making puris. So 2-3 of you get together and you start making puris and give me and I will fry them. So he gave them these rollers, these wooden rollers. And they didn't have really wooden plates to roll, you know, just kadapa slabs on that, you know, they have to put the flour, wheat flour, and do the rolling to make puris. So the boys started this process. Ramakrishna Reddy had seen grandmother and mother do the puris and do the chapati, so he thought he can do it. So he just took the atta, the wheat flour, and, you know, made a ball and they put it down and they were trying to now roll. And as they were trying to do that, you know, he figured that it is not happening. It is not as easy as it seemed what he had seen of his mother and grandmother doing it, because this, it was not really coming in proper shape and it was all uneven The shapes were really weird. Some were becoming like a leaf. Some were becoming like some animal. It was all going haywire. And so they were all wondering how to do it. You know, all these 2-3 boys who had no experience to roll this atta to make a puri. So they were wondering how to do it. And they were scratching their heads. And here the cook was asking, give me the puris fast, give me the puri fast. And they were struggling to make it properly. And meantime, Swami comes there. And Swami sees how these boys were struggling there, and Swami says, what is this? You don't know how to make puris. You should know all these simple things. Okay, you move aside, Swami says. And now Swami takes the wheat flour, the atta, and he makes a round ball, a perfect round ball, dips it again into the flour, and then Swami puts it down on the kadapa slab. He takes that wooden roller and one or two rolls, and it was like a beautiful small round moon. Perfect shape it was. And all the boys, oh my God, Swami is so nice, so beautiful it has come. You know, they were all amazed at how Swami just 2-3 roles, you know, 2-3 movements, he had created such a beautiful, nice puri to be fried. And then Swami started taking this puri. And Swami said, you should learn these simple things, should not be struggling like this to do this. And, you know, the boys were giggling and all that. And then Swami took that puri and Swami folded it into half. In fact, that is one of the delicacies that is made. You take the puri, you put some sweet inside it and fold it. And then you sort of close the edges. You press the edges so that it is closed. So the sweet is inside that puri. And this is what you fry. And a delicacy that is made is called kajikaya. So people were aware of this sweet and this delicacy. So Swami gave this folded puri. He did not put any sweet inside. He just took the puri, folded it, and he gave it to Ramakrishna Reddy and said, you people, you know only how to nicely eat. Okay, take this and get it fried and eat, Swami said. So Ramakrishna Reddy took that from Bhagwan's hand, the folded puri, and Swami had nicely pressed the edges. And he went to the cook, and the cook, when he saw him, he told, get the puris, why are you delaying? I have to start frying. And he says, no, Swami has given this as prasadam, first you fry this. So the cook takes that and they put it into the fire, into the boiling oil, and generally puris puff up once you put it in the oil. So this is what happened to this. And after it cools down, generally once you just touch it, you know, it will collapse because it is just air which had puffed up. So when the boys took this puri also, now they wanted to eat. So when they sort of punched it, it did not collapse. They're wondering, hey, what is this? And it was heavy. So they're wondering, what is it that got inside? And as they broke the puri, that's when they saw that very mysteriously sweet had manifested within. They had, right in front of their eyes, they had seen Swami took that puri and Swami only folded it, closed their edges and gave it to them. But here, once they fried, mysteriously, quite interestingly, so sweetly, Swami had put sweet into that puri. So this is how, you know, Bhagwan was engaging the boys, but making it so sweet, making it so memorable for them. And you know, imagine what that would do to you. Now, the next 1 or 2 hours, you'll be full energy. You'll make this puris, you know, thinking about just that beautiful Leela of Bhagwan. And forever, you remember that moment of Swami coming to you and Swami spending time with you. And you no longer not want to do this, you know. You will not think, oh, this is not work that I can do. This is not work that I should be doing. No, you just happily plunge into that seva. This is the magical touch of Bhagwan. In fact, this is how so many sweet ways Swami ensured the boys get involved with the activities of the hostels. The mind was constantly, if it was free, it was doing some work, and the work was God's work. In fact, so many ways Swami used to play with the students. Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy said, this is how Swami used to play with the devotees in Chitravati bed. It was a recreation of that in Vrindavan. Like one day when Swami was going back to the hostel, and as always, you know, boys were following Swami, and Swami just looked back and said, hey, why are you following me? Swami was going back to the mandir from the hostel, and the boys just giggled. They didn't say anything. And Swami just picked up a stone and Swami threw lovingly at the boys. And Swami was smiling, and the stone just fell down. And Swami said, take, Swami did, and Swami threw, and it just fell down. And the boys saw that, you know, that it was a stone which had just fallen down. And nobody really picked it up, and Swami was so playfully, you know, throwing the stone. So after that, Swami again picked up one more stone, and Swami said, okay, take this. And he threw, and the boys again did not catch it. It just fell down. They thought it's just a stone. But when somebody saw carefully, saw that it was now not a stone. It had manifested, turned, transformed, transmuted into a nice piece of sugar candy. So this is how Swami was keeping the boys enraptured, just like Krishna used to do in that era. Here was Sai Krishna in this Vrindavan, mesmerizing the boys with his leelas and ensuring that their mind is constantly occupied. In fact, this is how the story of the Vrindavan campus goes. What I have narrated to you, as Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy sir narrates, it's just one person, but there are so many such stories. In fact, on another day, when Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy was just coming back, Swami was in the college building and he was coming back to the hostel. There was nothing to do in the evening, so he thought, you know, let's just take a stroll. They should never go outside the ashram. Inside the ashram, they were just spending time. And at that point in time, the expenditure was so less. And Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy also did not pay any fees. He did not know that he has to pay fees, because Swami told join and he just joined. And so he had not paid any fees. But there were some students, when his grandmother told Swami, let him pay, because if he does not pay, then, you know, it will not be nice if other boys are paying and he is not paying. So Swami said, okay. So that is how slowly Ramakrishna Reddy sir also started paying fees. But on this occasion, he was just taking a stroll there with the students, and he was putting his hand on two other boys, on other boy's shoulders. He was actually hopping, one hand on the shoulder of one boy on either side, and he was just hopping and just taking a jolly walk in front of in the campus and just near the college building. And as he neared that, you know, the lights were on in the college building, and he knew that it was not a time when Swami would be there. It was evening. Generally, Swami would retire by that time. And so some boy said, hey, Swami is there, Swami is there. And Ramakrishna Reddy said, no, it cannot be. It cannot be, you know, Swami cannot be there now. Swami would have already retired. Because he felt that he knows about Swami's movements, because he was someone who had known little more about Swami, as he had seen Swami in Puttaparthi. And so they went in that, you know, they were jolly hopping. And as they were near that building, suddenly Swami came out and Swami said, hey, Ramakrishna, don't jump like this. And that is when it struck him, oh my God, Swami is really there. And the boys, and then Swami said, you know what? I just came here now to pay your fees. And that is what touched him. Swami said, it is already February and your fees has not been paid. And then Swami looked at the other two boys also. Swami said, I've paid your fees also. Don't worry. So this is how Mr. Ramakrishna says that, you know, you, as you always say, that Swami's love is a thousand mothers' love. It was much, much more than that. Swami used to look after every little detail of the students. Here he was giving them the amritam of his darshan. He was giving them the chance of basking in his love, filling them with mesmerizing moments of divine grace, and at the same time looking after their mundane things, looking after their food, looking after their money, looking after their basic needs. Because once you choose God, once you are selected by God, once you say, I am yours, everything else is looked after by the Lord. In fact, there's a very, very beautiful incident concerning this, and I think I will reserve that for the next episode of this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan, just to show how Swami used to go to any extent to ensure that all the students there and all their needs are completely taken care of. He used to look after their body, he used to look after their mind. He used to ensure that their soul is uplifted. And everything was happening so subtly, not to any direct interest, not in the classrooms, but as they lived with Bhagwan, as they interacted with Bhagwan, as they were just watching Bhagwan, these lessons were being communicated so subtly, so beautifully, so memorably. So we'll continue this series. There are very, very touching moments, very, very life-altering moments, actually. And in fact, it gives a very beautiful perspective of how Swami built this institution, the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, in the formative years. It started off with the Vrindavan campus. Prior to that, the Anandpur campus. But the Vrindavan campus is where Swami spent so much time with the students. And everything that we see in the Sri Sathya Sai institutions as an co-curricular activity, as an extracurricular activity, it all started in these formative years in Vrindavan. And how it happened, we will see many more facets of this in the coming episodes of this series. As I mentioned to you before, on the first Thursday of every month, Outside Inside Deep Inside, it will be on this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan, commemorating the 50 years of the Vrindavan campus. So we'll continue this. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with me through this beautiful, exciting journey. I love preparing for this program and offering this program to Bhagwan, to all of you. Let us know, realize and practice this principle that if you have God, if your focus is on God, if God is a priority, then everything else in your life is automatically taken care of. Let's experiment with this and we will know how we can celebrate life every moment. Thank you so much. Saram.
അനുപമവിനവരൂപം ആനന്ദം തവ ദർശനം അനുപമവിനവരൂപം വികസിത കുസുമം മൃദുമധുപരിതം ആനന്ദം തവ ദർശനം വികസിത കുസുമം മൃദുമധുപരിതം പ്രേമാർണവം